Every one of us, we're talking with the youth today, every one of us have complexities in life, right? Life is complex. And it's not always, it's never just one thing, right, that contributes to anything. It's always this complexity of this and this and this and this. And because life is complex, it's really easy for us as a people to say, well, then that means that the answer is complex, and I know Jesus says it simply, but I can't simply do what God says. And the reality, I learned a new theological term. I learned a new a deep, deep theological term. The reality for that mentality that because life is complex, that obeying Christ simply doesn't work, that the theological term for that mentality is balderdash. Right? That's a balderdash. Say it with me, say balderdash. Nobody says that enough, right? In other words, it's ridiculous. Yes, it is simply that simple. It is simple to obey God. The obedience to God, even in the complexity of life, is as simple as doing what is right and not sinning. That's it. I mean, that's all. If anyone would just get that and believe that, I would have nothing to preach. And maybe that's why we don't say that, because the second you learn that, then I'm out of a job. Right? It is that simple. Don't sin and expect good things to come from it. Don't sin and then wonder why my life is complex. It's that simple. Oh, but we don't like simple. We're going to be in Matthew. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, beginning in verse 25. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 34. Would you rise to your feet as we read the word of the Lord? In his Sermon on the Mount, speaking to his people, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and then tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but please hear this if you don't. You have a purpose in life. And I don't mean y'all as a group. I mean, like, even as individuals, each one of you has a purpose in life. And your purpose is more than just surviving. Do you get that? Like, I think if I tell that to people, like, you were created to do more than just survive, right? We'd be like, yes, yes, we all agree. Like, there's a meme about it somewhere. Someone's got a poster about it, or it's trending somewhere, right? This is the thing. I don't just survive. I want to live. I want to thrive, right? Thrive is kind of like the new word we like to go to over the last 5 or so years. We need to thrive. It's such a big word that we've named churches now. Thrive Ministries. Thrive this. It's all about thriving. I'm not just going to exist. I'm just going to survive. I'm going to thrive. And we'll say that on the outside. We recognize, I think every person recognizes, that there's supposed to be more than that. That survival is something cockroaches do or cows do, right? We're not just to live, not just to get by, but we are to do something more than just that. But what if I were to tell you that while you may say that outwardly, like right here in this room, the people in this room, just you guys, think about like, I'm talking to you. Pastor's never talking to me. He's talking to the group. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody real quickly. Awkwardly. Joshua, you too, little buddy. Gotcha. Okay, sorry, Hannah. Hannah, somebody tap Hannah. Hi, Bear. Okay, she's ignoring me. It's the daughter's too. Okay. Like, I'm talking to you, okay? So take it personal.
Oh,
okay. What if I were to tell you that while you may say that outwardly, like you may say, hey, I know that life is more than just surviving, that I'm to do something big or I'm supposed to thrive, that you may say that outwardly, and you may even believe that you agree with that, that many of you still focus on survival as your primary aspect in life, and you even confuse that with living or thriving. You are so focused on survival because you think that this survival is thriving, that it is living. Like, you don't know the difference between the two. What if I were to tell you that you're just taking survival to another level? Some of you are like, well, what? Fair enough, that's confusing. What if I were to tell you that in our world today, the world you live in, right here in the United States of America, right here in California, right, whatever it is, the world you live in today, in your world, fear, along with selfishness and pride, have caused survival to be this backdrop upon which everything we know is built. That selfishness and pride and fear have created this backdrop of survival. That's all we do, and yet we call it something different. That our economies are built upon the idea of survival for those who participate. So whatever economic system we have, it's there for what? For survival. Like, this exists so that I can survive, and that I can get the provisions that I need through this order. We created a method, as an agreed method, for me to get my provisions, right? That's what an economy is. It's an agreed method for me to attain the provisions that I need. And if I play the game right, you know, like especially in America, that the American dream really is just being the person who survives the best. That's the American dream, that I survived. I appropriated the most things that I need in life to survive. And so we don't even say it that way anymore, because none of us would say like, I just want to survive the day. I just want to survive the day. But in reality, our entire American dream is this idea of survival. It's just the way that we play the game. Survival, what if I were to tell you that survival is so ingrained in everything around us that often and easily we have actually managed to confuse comfortable survival for our purpose. That my purpose in life is to survive comfortably. It's to be happy, right? Because we say that. What is your purpose? Well, to be happy. How's that? How are you happy? Well, I have, you know, I make sure that I have room, board, and shelter, and I have my health, and I have my family, and I have, you know, all these things that make me happy. So you're talking about the things you need to survive, your provisions. And so your entire purpose in life is about getting provisions, and then maybe getting them abundantly. Like, that's how I know I lived well. I had an abundance of provisions. I had everything that I need. And you can see evidence of this survival as our primary goal, because think about how it is every person in this room typically measures success. I'm successful because I have food every day. I have the best food I can have, choice food. I don't have to eat the government cheese, right? Or I don't have to eat handouts, I'm doing good. Like, we consider that, yeah, I'm successful. I can eat when I want to eat, so I'm successful. I can eat at the restaurant. Or we consider success on choice clothes. I can wear what I want to wear. I can go buy my clothes where I want to buy them. I can dress the way I want to dress. I can look nice. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? You should look nice. So, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I wake up, and I'm not kidding, I intentionally try to look nice. Some days I fail. But, you know, that's because, you know, some days I'm just not that good at picking out clothes. But whatever, right? Right? So we want to look good. Or a choice shelter. I've done good in life. I'm successful. Why? Because I have a house. It's paid off. I have food on the table. I have clothes on my back. How many of us would say, man, that makes me successful? And we would even say that. That's an honorable thing to say. I'm successful because I have a house, because I have food on the table, because I have clothes on my back. Because we measure success based on how it is that we succeed at surviving, at how well we're surviving. And even consider those, like our goal is like, I want to be rich. Why? That way I can have not only enough food for me, but enough food that I can't eat. So that I can buy clothes that I'll never need to wear. So I can buy this huge house that I'm never even going to live all in, and I can have houses everywhere, even though there's homeless people. Why? So I can do these. And we say, well, it's okay. They worked hard for it. They earned it. They deserve that. They earned the right to have extra provision and to know that their survival is set. They're going to survive no matter what, and they're going to be comfortable in their survival. That's how we measure success. And then we even utilize, consider this, we even utilize the means of those provisions to define our character. This one's tough for me because my kids laugh. Check this out. There's a big gap in my family age-wise. Some of you come from families like that. Some of you don't. But in my family, my grandfather was born in 1898, my mom's dad. Like, that's a ways out there. Like, my kids are like, oh, that's weird. Your grandpa was born like 200 years ago. No, just centuries ago, but whatever, right? So there's this big gap. So I come from this, I say that to say that I come from this old school kind of mentality. Like, my mom's very work hard. My dad has a work hard ethic. So working hard is something that's super important to us. It was ingrained in our minds. You work hard. Some of you were raised that way, right? You work hard. You always work hard. And there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, while hard work is an important ethic, the problem is that it's also an ethic, it's also an idea that we in our world today have perverted to become a marker of good character because of how it benefits our need to survive and to survive well. I mean, think about it. Why is it important that I be a hard worker if you ask somebody? Why? Well, because that way I can have a house or I can have this. Well, if you live on the streets, what do we tell people? Well, it's because you don't work hard. That's why you're there. You're obviously lazy because if you work hard enough, you can have whatever you need. So your hard work determines where you're at in the world. And I can look at you where you're at in the world and decide that hard work plays a huge part in it. And we've heard that many times. We've probably all said that. Well, the reason they're out there like that is because they don't work hard. They don't want to work hard. They're lazy. That's where they want to be. Well, honestly, if hard work was all that it took to have all that you needed, then how come nobody in here is a billionaire? You just don't want it, or are you lazy? Because it's not. It's not the reality. But we have tied this ethic into survival. We've tied this ethic into, that's how I know you're a good person, because you work hard, and working hard is important. Why? Because working hard is how you get the provisions that you need. If you do not have a home, if you do not have food, if you do not have health care, if you do not have clothing on your back, it's because you didn't work hard and you have a bad character. And we're convinced that working hard is how we build our house. It's how I build my home. Listen, I fall into this. I love to work. And to me, it's not even so much because working is important. I'm not going to lie. I just happen to love to do it. It's this ridiculous flaw. It makes me look good in our world. It works for me in the system that we live in. But it really doesn't say much about me. The reality is I don't like to do anything that's hard for me to do. But intensive labor, that's easy for me to do. And so I do it. And it happens to work because the system we've created is about telling that person they're a good person. So I'm saying, man, Pastor, you're a hard worker. You're always at it. But what am I working for? Am I building my own home? That's my goal. I want to build my home. I want to have it my way. I want to control it. We're told that working hard is how we protect what's important to us. It's how I protect my provisions. You know how I make sure my kids don't end up on the street? I work hard. I get double jobs. I do whatever it takes to make sure that that happens. That's how I do it. I work hard. And I work hard to make sure that they're working hard. I make sure that my 11-year-old's got a job, mooch, right? It's time to quit living rent-free. We work and we pride ourselves in allowing nothing to get in the way of our hard work. Listen, not even God. Think about it. We don't even allow God to get in the way of our hard work. And that's why this psalm was so important. Psalms, the first two verses, look, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You can do all the hard work you want to build your house. You can go out and do everything you want. But if God's not the one building your house, you're spitting in the wind. You're wasting your time. You are not the one exception in this world. Nobody on this planet, no person on this planet, no family on this planet, no entity, no nation, there is nothing in this entire universe that is capable of building a successful house unless God himself builds it. You're just not that good. I'm not. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guards keep watch in vain. If God's not the one taking care of what you have, if God's not the one taking care of your family, if God's not the one doing this, your hard work means nothing. I can sit out there all day long and say, I'll protect my family, and if someone comes between them, I will kill them. I will end them. I will burn this world down. But the reality is it doesn't matter because I'm not that capable. Nobody here is that capable. Nobody in this world is strong enough to protect things on their own. God protects the city, or else you do it in vain. You're wasting your time. You might as well not even go to work. It's vain to rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, just doing all this work because you think that you're going to be able to fix this? That somehow you can do this? Or that you should expect others to do it? He gives sleep to his beloved. And so we have to ask ourselves, I mean, think about it, which is more important to us? Even as Christians, I'm going to challenge you right now, think about this. What is more important to you, your job or your walk with God? Now, you know the answer, right? What the answer is supposed to be. It's always Jesus, Pastor. If you don't know the answer, it's Jesus. That's right. If you don't know the answer, ponle Jesus. It's always Jesus, right? Jesus is the answer. So which is more important, Jesus or my job? Jesus, Pastor, okay. But let's put that to the test, and this is the part we don't like. It's easy to say things, but I'm more of a let's walk the walk and not just talk the talk, right? How many of us here, think about the excuses that we've used to say, I'm not going to church today. I can't make it to church today. I'm not coming in today. I'm not going to service today. How many of us would take that exact same excuse, call into work, say, I'm not coming in today? Why? Just tired, had a long night last night. I'm not coming to work today. Why? Just not feeling it today. All right, I'm not coming to work today. Why? Just, you know, I don't like so-and-so that's there, so I'm just going to stay home. And what's going to happen? You're not going to have a job. And we wouldn't do that. And the reality is, if you would not call into work for the same reason you'd call into church, the reality is, it's because your work is more important to you than your walk with God is, isn't it? And why? Because I love God, I depend on God, I pray to God, I hope things in the end of the day. But you know what? I go down to the grocery store and I go up there with my grocery cart full of groceries, put them on the thing, and you know what they're going to ask for? Money. Be like, yeah, but God's paying for it. You go up there, you try to take your grocery cart to the Save Mart, go do it, I challenge you, and videotape it. This is going to be an awesome TikTok challenge. Go up there, put it up on there. I'm going to start a TikTok viral thing here. Put it on there and say, the Lord is providing it. The Lord hath need of it. See how that works for you. What's going to happen? I don't know. I want to see it. I'm just saying try it. I'm down. Right? I'm down for an experiment. Y'all try it, though. Y'all go to jail. I can't afford to risk my credentials. So that being said, but I will risk your felonies. I'm willing to risk your time in jail for this. But call me. I'll bail you. Okay. So because we are hung up on this, I need to do this. Right? It's hard for us to separate, to understand, to even bring together, maybe separate's not the best word, maybe bring together the reality to reconcile that if God's my provider, then how do I do this and trust you for it? Because I do need a job. I do need to get paid. Here's another example from the psalm that I want to bring out that I see. And there's a lot of them, but this one I'll bring up. The other one is making our kids first. Wait, what? Our kids are number one. Listen, family is very important, absolutely. But in our world today, it's not important for the reasons that the scripture teaches. That's what I've noticed. Many people, maybe even some in here, family is important to us, their children are important, but they're not important for the reasons the scriptures say they should be important. We don't even realize it, but they're important because they're a means of survival for us. They really are just a way for us to live forever. We might as well just be back on the whole atheistic evolution. My children are the way that I live forever, is by passing on my DNA to them, and then they carry my name, my DNA, my legacy into the next generations, and I live forever. They're the ones that I want to have it. They're the ones that will carry my name into eternity. It's another means of survival, and that's what happens in a lot of times. That's why our children are so important to us naturally, because even our carnal nature says protect them. Why? I need to have my DNA go on into the world to protect myself. But listen to what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, sons are indeed a heritage of the Lord. Children are a heritage of the Lord. It's good to have kids. It's good to have kids. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, the sons of one's youth, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks his enemies. He speaks with his enemies in the gate. In other words, our children, check this out, your children are not meant to be your personal legacy. Did you know that? It is delusional to make them a means of eternal survival. Your children are not your legacy. They are meant to be arrows that go far beyond what you could ever do in this world and then pierce the heart of the lost and become a blessing of the gospel message into the world that the kingdom of God is at hand. That is what your children are for. But think about it. Ask yourself, why does it we do for our kids? Because we do. Oh my goodness. I joked yesterday, and there were a couple of mamas, rightfully, who were a little nervous. At least three mamas were probably nervous for their children yesterday. And to be fair, we may have risked their lives just a little bit, but not a lot. Not a lot, right? It was if the insurance would cut us off, but everybody was okay. Kyle may or may not have tried to roll the Jeep. But you know what? It's cool, it's all right. You know, did you die? Okay, so let's move on. Let's put that behind us. Okay. The question is, why do you want your children to succeed in life? And I hear this a lot, and we've probably said this, because even I've said this. Do you want your children to succeed in life? Do you try to set them up because you want them to have everything you didn't have? I say, well, yeah, Pastor, why not? I want them to have the things that I didn't have. Okay. What you're saying is you want them to have the provisions that you didn't have. What you're trying to set your child up is to survive better than you survived. But it's still survival. You're still seeking survival. You're just seeking it for them. You're teaching your kids how to survive. Or, and here's the other one, are you wanting your children to succeed in the way that they serve God and reflect His image back into this dark world around them? Because those are two different things. And when we use our children as a means of survival, what happens is we emphasize the methods of survival in their lives over training them up in the ways and the word of the Lord. Hey, you know what? You need to make sure that you do this. Take care of, you know, make sure you're a part of sports and get into it because it's important to be well-rounded. And it's okay to I get it that you don't want to go to church or you don't want to go to camp. You know, hey, I'm doing the youth pastoring, so I'm dropping the guilt trip. Deal with it, right? It's okay that you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that, but just make sure that you go to school. Make sure that you take care of your health because you got to make sure that you can live long. Because why? Why do we want health? So I can survive. Why do we want to make sure we go to school? So I can have a good survive, so I can have room and board over my head. We're still training our children to survive rather than walk of the word of the Lord and say, you know what? You need to be at church on Sunday morning, period. You need to be at youth group on Wednesday nights. You need to be a part of this. You need to be in the Word. You need to be involved in this. You need to do this. Because whichever one of those you're prioritizing, whichever one of those you make important, is going to be a marker to you. So this is your clue to tell you where you're at. I'm giving you a tool. Whichever way you're doing this will tell you whether you're training your child to simply survive or you're training your child to walk in God and make a difference. Which one are you doing? What's being emphasized in the way that you're rearing your children? God or abundant survival? And this incessant need for survival, it bleeds into every single nook and cranny of our lives. Those are just two examples, two of the big ones that I see. But this incessant need for survival, I see it disrupt the ability to genuinely live and to thrive. And it deludes us so that what happens is we engage in the most ridiculous and toxic acts because we're absolutely convinced that they're necessary. That they're necessary for my well-being. They're necessary for my survival. You don't understand, Pastor. My situation is complex. My situation is different. I need to do it this way. I know you say that. I know the Lord says that. But I need to do it this way. That's delusional. That's the pastor going up there saying, stop it. Stop. It's not real. You're not the exception. Your situation is not the exception. And so we convince ourselves, I have to do this, though. I have to do this. And that, especially as a pastor, is something that I do see every day. I'm not going to lie. It frustrates me. It breaks my heart to see people put so much time and energy chasing after something that's really just more of the same chaos or trying to escape. And I see it all the time. I'm not even exaggerating when I say in the time that I have been a pastor, all the way back to when I was a men's pastor back in like 2008 when I started doing that, I do not believe that there's been a single week when a person has not come into me and say, hey, pastor, we need to talk. I got this issue. Yeah, I've got an addiction to this, or I'm involved in this, or I got this problem with this, or I'm doing this and I shouldn't be doing that. That whole oops thing, right? It happens all the time. I get it. We're people. We oops. I say, yeah, you need to stop doing that. Don't do it. Okay, so what you're saying, pastor, is what? Stop doing that. Huh? Yeah, that thing that you did, that thing that you're doing, that thing that's a problem, yeah, stop doing it. Oh, you don't understand, pastor. You're not hearing me. I have to. I need a way to make it work. Not going to happen. And inevitably, the addict will go out and refuse to get help. The thief will continue to steal. The liar will continue to lie. And then they get mad at me saying, where were you? Why didn't you help me through this? And I get frustrated and heartbroken because I'm not angry. I don't get angry at people for doing that. My heart breaks because we're so deluded. And we'll convince ourselves of the most ridiculous things. And it disrupts their lives. Like the person who thinks, man, I just need to get a change of venue and it'll change everything. I think my addiction can be managed on my own. I don't need to get help. I don't need to see counseling. I don't need to go into a rehab. I can do it on my own because, look, if I go to rehab, it's going to waste time. I'm going to lose my job and I got to take care of my family. So we're going to have to come up with something else. You can't. It's not going to happen that way. And we're so concerned on survival. I have to survive. I have to maintain this thing that we bring more chaos into our lives. In any situation, it's the person who justifies sin or sacrificing their relationship with God because they think it's going to bring order from their chaos or purpose from their emptiness or even some light into their darkness. But check this out. It doesn't work. It never has. It never will. You get that? It has never worked. It never has. It never will. It's that easy. It's that simple. They are changing one mode of survival for another, but the problem with that is it's not just this parallel move. They're still just living in a survival mode, and what's happening is it's killing them, and it's leaving a wake of death in their path. Because when survival is our primary motivator, rationality and patience, they're replaced with fear and urgency. I'm afraid, I got to take care of it, I got to do it now. I got to do it now. I don't have time to stop. I don't have time to wait. I can't wait. Put this off. They tell you, when you come out of rehab, right? Wait a year before you get into any big relationship. And what happens? I can't wait a year. I need to do it now. I need people. Take time. Stop. You have this sense of urgency because of fear. And so what happens is our decisions become reactive. We're convinced of the benefits of some of the most ridiculous delusions, and we continue to sin, ignoring our situation and hoping it's going to go away. If I just put it past me, put it behind me, enough time between me and it, it'll go away. It doesn't work that way. That's like saying I have cancer. If I can just put enough time from the time the doctor told me I have it until the future, it's going to go away. It doesn't work that way. I remember coming in here, and I think I shared this with you, about 6 months ago. And I was praying, and I was like, Lord, I need, give me my daily bread. And I was like, but you know what, Lord? I could really use some more bread. I mean that, you know, metaphorically and literally. Like, could you give me more? I feel like I need more. I need to pay for sports. I need to pay for this. I need to pay for college. I need to pay for that. I need more. I need more. I need more. And that's what I'm saying, is I need this. I have to have this. And as I was sitting here praying, the Lord really put me in my place, because what he realized, and I want to share this with you, but I'm not sharing this with you because I want to pity. I'm sharing this with you so you understand the point of this. I want you to understand the reality of the situation, okay? We don't make a lot as a pastoral family, right? Okay, I don't. I'm on welfare. We eat off of food stamps. My health care comes from Medi-Cal, okay? That's the reality. I say that to tell you that I'm sitting here telling God I need more. That's not right. Why should I be like that? I bust my butt. I'm over here 60 hours a week. I'm taking care of everything. I'm tithing faithfully. I need more. And he says, well, what do you need? Because you know what happens if the church didn't pay me a single penny? And I think the church pays me a lot, to be honest with you. I just think that the state's willing to give me a bunch of other stuff. If I didn't have anything, if the church couldn't give me a penny, what would I have? I'd have a house. I'd have heating and air conditioning and water. If I didn't have anything else, I'd have food. Like, the government gives you a lot of food stamp money. They do. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'd have health care. So if I didn't get anything else, I've got a house and food and health care. And my kids get a free education. He's like, okay, so what's this daily bread you need? I'm like, oh, oops. I say that to say, look, we all are provided for. I know y'all eat. You know how I know you eat? You're here. Because here's what happens if you don't eat. Again, true for everybody. You die. You know that, right? If you don't eat, you will die. You start off getting hangry. You get a little, and then you die. None of you are dead. I was like, Bill's awake. Yeah, Bill's always saying to make sure. My man Bill, right? Yeah. Why? Because he eats. Listen, what he was telling me is what Jesus was saying here. I didn't have to worry about those things. And because I don't have to worry about those things, this has been just such a freeing thing for me. Because I don't have to worry about those things, the reality is I don't. I could. In fact, I should. I'm commanded. Because I don't have to worry about those things, I am commanded to live for the sake of God and for others. That's what I live for. And I get that it's really hard to believe that sometimes. Sometimes like jumping off a cliff for the first time into the water or ziplining. Like, how many of you guys have been ziplining or skydiving or done something kind of foolish like that, right? And what happens for most people, not you abnormal people, like, oh, there's those, like, whatever, man, y'all are freaks. For normal people, right, you go like this. You put the thing on and you're like, I'm good. Ah! No, not yet. Stay away. I will do it. I promise I'll do it. On three. One, two. Wait. Not yet. Right? Come on. You guys, I'm not the only wiener here, right? We all do that. Am I right? Okay? Or is it just me? Okay? We all do that. Why? I know I'm safe. I know I'm going to be fine. You know you're fine, but it's still that first step of faith that you're like, I got to go this year. I was so blessed. I got to go ziplining in the rainforest of Costa Rica. And I didn't even look like that dude on The Office, like Toby. Like, I actually survived it. But they start you off like on these little ones. I didn't realize, like, they get bigger as you go because they ease you into it. Because if they start on the big one, everybody like, no way, bro. My mama raised ugly kids, not stupid ones. I'm not jumping off of that. We know truth, right? We get it. So I can tell you, trust God for provision. He'll take care of everything else, right? Live. We get that. I can say that. You can say that, right? You believe that? Amen? You believe that God will provide for you? Amen? You believe that you have an abundance? All of us here have an abundance. Amen? But here's the thing. I get that it's hard to take that truth and not allow fear to ruin it for us. Fear is powerful. Fear says, I don't want to do it that way. Because what if I'm the one person it doesn't work for? What if I fail because the things at stake are pretty high? And while we may already have everything that we need in abundance, fear is often going to cause us to strive for more provision rather than just become blessings into the world. Fear will cause us to seek a better life by our own means rather than God's. And listen, I told you you were created for a purpose, and you were. You were created to bless this world. You, every person in this room, was created to bring light and life into this world. Like I said, one of the most heartbreaking, frustrating things I experienced is watching people sacrifice themselves in the things that really matter in order to chase after something that's just going to bring them more of the same chaos and emptiness that they're trying to escape. And so Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Amen. It's simple. Just stop. Just stop. I want to invite the team to come back up. And as they come up, I want you to really think about this. Right now, every person in this room, I am sure, has things going on in their life that we're trying to deal with. And we're saying, okay, I need to deal with it, and I know I should be doing it this way, but this is my comfort zone, and this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm going to handle it. Just stop. I know you're saying that, I know the Bible says that, but if I can just do this, just stop. Wait a minute, Pastor. Just wait. I don't want to get pushy. I'm not ready to do that. I don't want to do this. Just let me think about it. Let me try it my way. Stop. But what if I just do the stop? But maybe if I stop, but it's for the better cause. I'm different. Stop. Just stop. Just stop allowing fear to speak to you. Stop living in survival mode. Because listen, you will die doing that. Do you get it? If you try to live in survival mode, if that's what you seek, you are going to die. You're going to fail. And you'll have spent everything in this world, everything that you've got for nothing. You'll have failed. God's not lying. He's not playing. He's making it clear. Just stop. Just stop saying, I'm the exception. Just stop saying, I need to do this. Just stop saying that I can do it my way. You can't. Just stop. Stop letting fear speak into your life. Because yours is not the exception to reality. You, every one of you were created for the kingdom of God. You were created to share that kingdom into this world. You, every person here, was created for righteousness. You were created to save the world. Do you get that? Like, I feel like too many of us think like you're going over the top here. No way, man. That's what you were created for. We walked into a store at the mall and the lady asked us, what's on your bucket list? And the teens threw out some stuff, Jesse and Sarah, or Jesse and Sienna, and she asked me, what's on your bucket list? I said, honestly, save the world. She's looked at me like I'm crazy. No, that is my bucket list. That's it. I'm going to save the world. That's what I want to do. Because that's what I was created to do. That's what you were created to do. That's what you were created to do. To work with God to save this world. So stop. Stop with the nonsense about I don't have to go to a rehab. Stop with the nonsense about I can do relationships different. Stop with the nonsense about my situation is different and I can do this. Stop with the nonsense. Just stop. Because that's fear. That's crap. That's wrong. It's a lie. Strive for the kingdom of God. Because once you do that, once you seek the righteousness of God, once you seek the kingdom of God, first and foremost, when you make it that simple, say, this is sin, this is right, this is wrong, I'm going to do what's right. Once you do that, when you focus on that, when you make that thought thing in your life, the rest is rock and roll. So as the band sings, here's the thing. And I know that we kind of sit, we don't do this a lot, we need to do this more, but as they play, here's the thing, there are some of us who are dealing with stuff right now. These altars are open, and that's what they're for. We need to step up. A lot of us need to stand up right now, and we need to come down to the altars and say, here's the thing that I got, God. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop living into survival mode. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop trying to do all this stuff, and I am going to live for you, and I'm going to follow you, God. So come down to the altars now. Let's pray for you. Let's do this. Come down and let the word of the Lord work in you, and let us let fear go and no longer be a slave to the fear that has just kept us from living life, from enjoying life, from being the people that God has called us to be. Let us today say, I am stopping right here and right now and seeking first the kingdom of God.